Right now, let's go to the big screen. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 4. Let's get into the Word. Amen? Thank you so much for putting up with us today. Today we're in a series, we continue our series called Extreme Events from the Book of Daniel. Extreme Events from the Book of Daniel. Today is Extreme Ego. Last week was Extreme Intolerance. Sometimes, folks, we just have to be intolerant. And the world says, but that's extreme. You know why we have to be intolerant sometimes? Because some things are just what? Black and white. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Now, like I said, we don't have to be as mean as a snake, and we don't have to fuss about everything that comes down the pike. I agree with that. But certain things are just black and white, and you will be labeled as being an intolerant human being. But let me tell you something. I've got a guest coming in June. He's a historian. He's been here before. His name is Bill Federer. His books are in many of the congressmen's offices, and they use his books, his quotes, and his writings. He'll be here in June speaking, and he just has a new book out, and it's called The Intolerance in America. And he basically talks about how that Christianity is very tolerant. We're a tolerant religion. We don't cut your head off if you don't believe. You hear me? What's that? We're tolerant. We are. But we're not tolerant to say what you think is fine and what the Bible says isn't true. We're not going to be tolerant that way. Okay? It's a free country. Believe what you want to. But we're not going to change what the Bible says to suit the needs of other people. We can't do that. Why? Because some things are just what? Alright, so we saw that last week with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now let's go to today's message. Extreme Ego! How many remembers the commercial years ago? Let go of my ego! How many remembers that? Come on, so we're not crazy. It really did happen. Okay? Let go of my ego! So the commercial would come on and it'd pop up at the toaster. Two people would grab it. Let go of my ego and knock you out. You know? Let go of my ego. Listen, letting go of your ego today. Letting go of your ego today is what we're going to talk about. And letting go of my ego today. All right, we ain't talking waffles either. We're talking about our stubborn, selfish pride. And we're going to see it in living color today from the book of Daniel. This is a phenomenal book. It's a book of history and it's a book of prophecy. Let's go right now to Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. Now we saw him last time, didn't we? He's the one that had the furnace heated up how many times hotter? 7 times hotter. And the boys didn't burn, did they? And there was a fourth man in the fire, remember? And he was the one that was certainly impressed, wasn't he? Well, let's see. He still hadn't got the message. But this is his story. And we're going to see that in just a minute. Let's read the scripture. Nebuchadnezzar the king and all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking. Probably not often in your life you're going to have a king talking to you. But here he is. He's talking to you. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. We want to focus in on verse 2. I thought it good, the king says, to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. This is something he wants to tell you today. And he wants to tell me today. So his story starts off, I want to tell you what God did to me. What God did in my life. I was going to sing you a little song like, I listened to a story about a man named Neb. You know, the king of Babylon by whom the world was led. This is him right here. He got a story he wants to tell you today. Are you listening? I need you to sit up and listen now. Come on. This isn't a story you need to be sleeping on. Here we go. So first of all, we see the king's story. It's his personal testimony. Now, it's going to get ugly here in a minute. But it's his story. And you know what? Sometimes in life, our life has a little ugly to it, doesn't it? But God's delivered us. And we have a story to tell about Jesus Christ and his power. This is his story. Daniel 4:4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Does that sound like things are going pretty good? Say, things are going pretty good. He's advanced in his house. Things are flourishing in his palace. Let's look at the next thing. Let's read a little Babylonian history. I didn't have Raj put this up, but I want to read it to you. And as I read you the history, how many have ever gone to a travelogue before? You ever go one of them crazy travelogue things and they take you to another country on the screen? We're fixing to do it. Here we go. I'm the reader. Here we go. We're talking about Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar ruled. Babylon became one of the most magnificent and luxurious cities in the known world. Remember, 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. It was superbly constructed. It spread over an area of 15 square miles. 15 miles wide, 15 miles long, nothing but city. The Euphrates River flowed diagonally across the city. The famous historian Herodotus, and by the way, this is not just scripture, friend, this is history. And matter of fact, to get the things I'm going to say came from history. So this idea of the Bible is not true, dude. Are you crazy? This is history we're talking about. King Neb was really a king and he really lived. Get it through your head. All right? There we go. Herodotus said this. The city was surrounded by a wall 350 feet high. That's about 35 stories. 15 miles by 15 miles. It was surrounded by a wall 35 stories high. That's a big deal. Here we go. It was 87 feet thick. It extended 35 feet below the ground to prevent tunneling. Okay? No wonder he's sitting at rest and flourishing in his palace, huh? It was wide enough on the top of this wall for six chariots to drive side by side. So there was a six-lane superhighway on the top of this wall. Amazing. Around the top of the wall were 250 watchtowers placed in strategic locations. Outside the huge wall was a large ditch or a moat filled with water from the Euphrates River. The large ditch was meant to serve as an additional protection against attacking enemies. For any attacking enemy would have to cross the body of water first before approaching the Great Wall. Within the wall were 100 gates of brass. In addition to being a bastion for protection, Babylon was a place of beauty. The famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon are on record yet today as one of the seven wonders of the world. Arranged in an area of 400 feet square, raised in perfectly cut terraces, one above the other, they soared to a height of 350 feet. Viewers could make their way to the top by means of stairways that were 10 feet wide. From a distance, these hanging gardens presented an imposing sight. The tower itself sat on a base 300 feet in breadth and rose to the height of 300 feet. The great temple of Marduk, adjoining the Tower of Babel, was the most renowned sanctuary in all the Euphrates Valley. It contained a golden image of Baal and a golden table, which weighed together not less than 50,000 pounds. Gold table, 50,000 pounds. At the top were golden images of Baal and Ishtar, two golden lions, a golden table 40 feet long, 15 feet wide, a human figure of solid gold 18 feet high. Babylon was literally a city of gold. Had 53 temples and 180 altars. Why do I say all that? I say all that to say this. The king was sitting fat and happy. Listen, if anybody can be filled with ego and filled with pride, it was this guy, right? Now, I say that right off the bat this morning because some of us, we get so stuck on ourselves and what we're doing and what we've accomplished. And look at us. You're nothing compared to this guy. You hear me? And I'm nothing compared to this guy. And we shouldn't get stuck on ourselves, and we need a reality check. Let go of your ego. That's what we're talking about today. Here's what he said. I had a dream. Remember Martin Luther King Jr.? I have a dream. Let me tell you something. There was a king long before him that had a dream. And this was King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm telling you that. This was a real deal dream. Martin Luther King had a dream of freedom and equality, which is fantastic. This guy had a dream that would scare you pretty bad. Scare you pretty bad. This is a wild dream. Here we go. Let's look at it. Are y'all all right? You want to talk? You want to quit? Let's keep going. Come on, here we go. Daniel 4, verse 5. Now I've got to read the scriptures. Here we go. I saw a dream which made me afraid. Afraid? You living where you live? Which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head, they troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. There came in the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in, whose name had been changed to Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, or Daniel, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee and no secret troubles thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beast of the field had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now, I hope you're all right so far. Don't quit on me. All right? Here we go. Extreme ego. Man, this guy had a dream. And this was a wild dream. It scared him to death. He didn't have any reason to get scared, but he was frightened. And he said, this is my story. This is my story. I want you to hear my story today. But now watch this. So we just told you the dream. He didn't know what it means at all. Down south we say he didn't know duty squad. Alright, he didn't know nothing. Alright? So let's see number two. Daniel shocked. First of all, the king's story. Next, Daniel shocked. Look at the scripture. Then Daniel, next verse, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. What happened when the king told him the dream? Here's what happened. You see, look over here. He was shocked. Daniel was shocked because he knew the interpretation. He knew what this dream was all about. He was also embarrassed. How would you like to have a king call you, before him, and say, I want you to interpret this dream? And it's a horrible dream with bad stuff going to happen. And you had to say, oh, it's about you, dude. You know what I'm saying? He was in shock. He didn't want to do this. He was embarrassed. Let's see what he says. The king spake, so he was troubled for 1 hour. He was like, that's a long time to be that way. You know, so try to do that an hour. You know? Anyway, The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, Daniel, let not this dream or the interpretation trouble you. Daniel answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation to your enemies. What was he saying? He was saying, this is a dream that I wish it was for your enemies. This dream, I wish it was for someone who hated you. Let's keep moving. Verses 20 through 22. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong. This is Daniel interpreting the dream. Whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. Whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. Watch it. It is thou, O king. Thou art grown. You've become strong. Your greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, according to history, was the first world Gentile king. What does that mean? That means there were kings before him, but he was the first one who ruled the world. Did you know your Bible is true? Sir? When you read the Bible, it's true. This is history that tells us that, and it's verified by the Scriptures. And Daniel says, it's you, O king. You're the tree. Your kingdom reaches to the heavens. These 35-story walls that are all built in these hanging gardens. That's your kingdom. It stretches to the end of the earth. The tree is you. Now let's see what else happens. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portions be with the beast of the field till 7 years pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as an ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now, I don't know if you're with me yet. I know this is a crazy story. Come on. We're getting somewhere. Let go of my ego. We're getting there. Hang on. God was going to bring him down. God was going to bring him down. And you know what? The Bible says God resists who? The proud. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16. Six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are abomination. The first one, a proud what? Look. A proud look. Let me tell you, friend, you better let go of your ego, because God will knock us down. We will know the God of heaven rules. I'm looking at many of you today who've been knocked down. And I know you. I know some of your stories. And some of you are glad you got knocked down because it brought you to Jesus. Amen? You got knocked down, but He was there to pick you up. And that's the story. That's what the king's trying to tell us. So let's see what happens. I do want to say something about that stump. That stump. Okay? It says the tree will be cut down, but the stump will be left. Now, I didn't know this, but in antiquity, you know what they would do? They would cut the tree down and leave the stump, and then they would take a big brass or iron band and put around that stump, and they would tighten the screws like in a vise, and that would cause that stump not to split. And because the stump wouldn't split, it would then grow again. It would grow back. And that's how they did it in those days. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. God put the vice grip on the king. He put the screws on him. But he didn't kill him. And he said, Daniel said, your kingdom is going to return unto you. So now let's keep moving. This is a very, very important part of the message right here. Here we go. I'm going to make some points here. It's going to move now. Here we go. Daniel's sure counsel. So he tells the king the interpretation. You're the tree. You're going to be driven from your kingdom. You're going to live like a wild animal. You're going to eat grass like an ox. Dew is going to come down on you for 7 years. Can you imagine? How can he believe such a thing? This big palace and city he has, 15 miles by 15 miles, 350-foot-high walls, 35 stories high. How could that happen? You ever been there before thinking you're invincible, thinking you can't come down? Man, I'm doing great. I'm at the top of my game. Huh? Let's see what happened. Verse 27. Daniel pleads with him. He gives him sure counsel. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility or peace. What was Daniel's counsel? Put it up, Raj. Here it is. Daniel said, humble yourself, king. Humble yourself, king. Humble yourself, king. This can be changed. Humble yourself. And he pleads with him to humble himself. He says three things. And let me tell you something. This will preach today in your life and in my life. Number one. So how do we let go of our ego? We humble ourselves. I thought, well, maybe I'll give 15 different things we can do. It ain't but one step. That's how you let go of this ego. You humble yourself. It's not a 12-step plan, friend. It's a one-step plan. Did you hear me? Humble yourself! And here's what he told the king to do. How do I humble myself? Acknowledge your sin and do right. Can you say that with me? Come on. Acknowledge your sin and do right. Number two, say it with me. Show mercy to others. What happens when we get stuck on ourselves so often? We don't give a rip about somebody else. And blessing stops flowing and giving stops flowing from us to other people. That's how you humble yourself. You acknowledge your sin and do right. Start showing mercy to others. Start caring for other people other than just you. Okay? And then know this in your heart, that this is the only way to real peace. The only way to real peace is to humble yourself, do the right thing, show mercy to others, humble yourself before a holy God. Do it, king! Let's see what the king did. Here we go. The king's selfish pride. He would not listen. Look at it. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking I'm crazy. That's all right. Here we go. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Can you read that verse with me? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. It happened at the end of the 12 months. He walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. Can you imagine him walking? And looking, the king spake and said, watch it now, is not this great Babylon that what? I have built. For the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. And for the honor of my majesty. If you say, I, you need to let go of your ego. See what I'm saying? That's what his problem was. So he walks. He's full of himself. But you can't hide from God. He couldn't hide from God. God penetrated that wall. Didn't matter how deep those footers went. Let's see what happens now. God's sovereign power. Number 5. Daniel 31 through 33. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. That quick. I tell you what, friend. It happened just like that. We can think we've got the world by the tail, things are going great, and it can happen just like that. Your world can be rocked. This man's world was rocked. It didn't take a long time to do it either. God came down on him. Let's see what happened. And they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. Sounds like the same old thing, huh? And 7 years shall pass over you until you'll know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He did eat grass as an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. His hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Do we have a picture of him? Let's see what we got. It's in your worship guide too today. Look at that. You know what I think? I think when you and I get so stuck on ourselves and we think the world revolves around us, I think you're crazy. He looks a little crazy, doesn't he? I mean, I know things can be going good, and it can seem like things are going perfect, and everything's just great, and we're making a name for ourselves, and all that good stuff. But I tell you what, that's crazy talk. You need to humble yourself. That can drive you nuts. I'm telling you, always having to keep up with the Joneses. Huh? Drive you crazy. Why don't you be who you are and fulfill the purpose that God has in your life? Humble yourself. Let Him work in your life. Let Him make a difference in you. Instead of you thinking you've got to form it all together and do it all, drive you crazy. You hearing me or am I nuts?
You're crazy, man.
Yeah. Hey, God's sovereign power. He took Him down. Let's see what happens in our story today. The king's surrender. He let go of his ego. Tell you what, he let go of his ego. Let's see what happens. Read the verses with me here as we move. Do we have a scripture? There he is. He humbled himself. Thank you. At the end of the, is that what Daniel told him to do, yes or no? Yeah. Would he have been better off if he had done it before, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. But he did. He did it his way. But he finally humbled himself. Look at what he wrote. This is the king's story. He said, I want to tell you my story. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven. My understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing. Can you say this with me? Lord. Can you say it?
Lord.
I'm nothing. You're everything. That's good. That's a good Bible right there. It's all about Him. Listen, what did the king say? And he was somebody that could brag, friend. He said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven. Oh, He's pretty good at keeping other armies on earth out, but not that one. Not the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? See, you can't tell God what to do. See, we're good at telling others what to do. We're good at man being in charge. Can't be in charge of God. He's in charge. We hit the dirt, is what we do. So He humbled Himself. He did the right thing. Let's look at the second thing. He received the blessings of God. And this is where I really want to get, and I'm closing out quick, hopefully, this morning. Here we go. He received the blessings of God. When he let go of his ego, when he let go of his waffle, the blessings of God came. When you and I hang on to stuff and self, and friend, we need to let go, friend. We need to trust the Lord. We need to lay low. We need to give it up to Jesus. Listen, great things can happen in our life. You might think you've attained greatness now. You have no idea what God can do through you if you give it up, baby. You just never know what God can do. But if you're always in control, you never know what God can do in your life. Let's see what He does. Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my Lord sought unto me. I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Let's see what happened. How was he blessed when he let go of his ego? Here we go. Number one, he began thinking clearly. My understanding returned. I think when you and I are stuck on ourselves, when it's all about us, we don't have a relationship with God, we're in charge, even though we might go to church, he's not in charge, we are. I tell you what, you're not thinking straight, friend, when that happens. But when you humble yourself and you lay yourself out before Him, it's amazing how you can start thinking clearly. and thinking God's way. Did you know, we were taught years ago, we came from monkeys. But you know what? When I became a Christian, I started to see God's Word, and I started to think clearly, and I started to realize I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Tell you what, you start to think straight. It's amazing what can happen to you and decisions that you can make. If you'll humble yourself, you can begin thinking clearly. He had lost his mind for 7 years, but he humbled himself and he started thinking clearly. Beautiful. Look at the second thing. God exalted him. The glory of my kingdom. But see, God did it this time, didn't he? God gave it back to him. See, that's the deal. God exalted him. So many of us, we're out there, we're trying to do and get this kind of a claim and say this good about me and whatever. Listen, it'll drive you nuts. Let God exalt you. The Bible says, say it with me if you know it. If we humble ourselves, He will what? Lift us up. Jesus said, the first shall be, and the last shall be first. Listen, God exalts us. God exalts us when we humble ourselves, when we do the right thing, when we put Him first, when we praise His name, when we have the right perspective that we're nothing and He's everything. He lifts us up. The third thing that happened to Him, others praised Him. Look at it. My honor. If you read that verse, others started praising Him. Here's what the Bible says. Let another man's what? Lips praise you. Listen, it's sickening to hear somebody praising themselves. I did this, I did that, you're a nut. Listen, let another man's lip. How do you feel? Do you feel better when you say how great you are or when somebody else says it? I'm the best husband in the whole wide world. Yes. I like it a lot better when Joy says that. Amen? And it don't fly at my house when I tell her how great I am. You know what I mean? Listen, let others praise you. That's what happened when he got his head right. The fourth thing, his countenance was brighter. He said, my brightness returned. See, if it's all about you, and it's about you doing for you, and you go do for you, and you have to, listen, even your smile is manufactured. Let me tell you something. You let God put a smile on your face. You let God come into your life. You humble yourself. Let me tell you something. He'll do something to your eyeballs. He will. He'll put a gleam in your eye. He will. You know, when God lifts you up, when God allows others to praise you, when God puts a smile on your face, let me tell you, friend, that's contagious. It's phenomenal. King says, this is my story. I'll tell you the story. Tough story. When God changed his life. Look at it. God gave him influence. Counselors sought me. Usually he was going to the counselors. He said, now the counselors are coming to me. God gave him influence. So often in our lives, we work so hard to get other people to like us. We work so hard to get other people to lift us up. Listen, friend, God will give you that influence if you'll humble yourself. He'll do that if you trust Him. I believe it. Next, God rewarded him. God rewarded him. Excellent majesty was added unto me. Remember that stump? He didn't die. He didn't lose his kingdom. You know why he didn't lose his kingdom? He turned insane. And why wasn't he killed? Well, one of the reasons is in antiquity, in writings of history, it was bad luck to kill an insane person. It really was. If somebody's insane, they were like, ooh, they're insane. They would just leave them be. And so he was left for 7 years in his kingdom. He didn't lose it. He was able to come back and to rule. God rewarded him. And the last thing, God gave him a song. And I'm done this morning. God gave him a song. Can you imagine such a thing? That a guy would lose his mind, he'd live outside, his hair would grow like eagle's feathers, and came his toenails and fingernails, and he was like a wild animal. He lost his mind. Can you imagine if God could bring him back? Here's the message today. God can do that for you. God can do that for you. Last thing, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Here's his song right here. Say it with me. Would you help me? Now we're done this morning. God is all powerful. Number two, God's. Number three, number four, God will humble the proud. That's it right there. King, surrender. Can you say it? I surrender, Lord. Can you say it?
I surrender,
Lord. One more time. I surrender, Lord. Best thing you'll ever do is let go of that waffle. Let go of it, baby. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go of your ego. Exalt him. Lift him up. Here was Daniel's advice. This is my advice to you today, and it's from the Word of God, and it's to me today. Here it is. Look at it. Say it with me. Acknowledge. Number two. And number three. That's it. That's straight from the Word of God. That's straight from the King who is the King of the world. And one of the greatest kingdoms of all time. He shared that with us today. Amen? He said, look, it doesn't pay to hang on to your ego. Let go of your ego. That's extreme.